All right, okay. Be entertaining now, Mark. You've had your non-entertaining period. Oh. Now, light the people up with your witty banter.
I don't know what to say.
It's disappointing.
Fail.
You failed. All right, well, how about that Stephen Donald?
Why this is such a low level podcast?
Yeah, low level podcast. That you've, I don't. We don't. We're not going to talk about that right now. But you very rarely tell me to. Sometimes you'll say, "Watch this game" or something like that.
What is
you
that?
You don't often tell me to. I think it's.
Part of your dinner.
I don't know what it is.
Leave that over there. There you go.
This is really exciting viewing.
Maybe we should start again. Entertainment, you know, rugby.
Some sort of black substance.
Yeah, it is. I got that much.
Well, you put it. You touched it.
Yeah, it's soft.
I think there's a piece of a little bit of rubber somehow is there.
Okay.
But Mark, yeah.
How are you, Tony?
I don't want to talk about Stephen Donald right
okay.
now. But you don't. You told
he's
me
he's younger than us.
You told me to talk about Stephen Donald.
Yeah.
Like, it's very rarely people ask me to talk about him.
From Waiuku.
I like Waiuku.
My mate lives out in Waiuku. There's a steel mill out that way.
Yeah, near Pukekohe.
It's kind of...
further south than Pukekohe, isn't it, Waiuku? You keep going, you head towards Waiuku, but you turn right.
Turn right, yeah. And then towards Pukekohe and turn right.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a little township you just don't expect. And yeah. It's there and you're like...
and there's a steel mill there.
Yeah. Is that where sawmill comes from? The beer?
Don't know.
I might be making that up. Oh, we've got a problem here, Mark.
I can't see the framing.
Shit.
This could just be all crotch.
Yeah, crotch down. 2 cents gets crotched. Okay, hold on. Let me check. I'll spin that bad boy for you. So just while I'm gone, entertain the people. Okay. Some top line entertainment coming your way.
Okay. Today on 2 cents Gets Distracted, a rugby podcast, the Wallabies are going to get a new coach. Stephen Donald, he's been stirring that pot. Cheslin Colby blew a sitter of a try. Super Rugby results, URC, and this week's coming attraction, the Champions Cup semi-finals.
Also, bonus, how many steps removed from a cousin is it okay to be attracted to that person? Is it first cousin? No. Second cousin? Maybe. Third cousin? It's all good. Where's the line? We're gonna explore that later.
Okay.
Maybe as well.
Your first cousins, you're sharing the same grandparents. No. So that's pretty dodgy.
It's not good. It's not good. I had a deal with a friend of mine.
Is this friend of yours your first cousin? If we're still single when we're 45, let's just get married.
I had a deal with a friend of mine.
Is it illegal to marry your first cousin? It must be.
It's just wrong.
If you share grandparents, like literally, you've got two of the four of your grandparents are the same people.
So I had a deal with my female cousins are beautiful. I know they're beautiful.
Okay.
And that's fantastic.
Like beautiful people or they're physically attractive?
I just don't want to say physically attractive about my cousins, but they're beautiful.
That's what you mean.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Okay.
And they are beautiful people as well.
Is that a Marilyn Manson song?
Beautiful people, the beautiful people.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all relatively to the size of your steeple. And he had sisters who I also thought were physically attractive. So we had a deal that the first one of us to hook up with the other person's relative would win.
This is not the kind of deal you should be bragging about on the internet.
And neither of us won.
Goodness
never
me.
Happened. Never happened.
Yeah, I never entered any kind of pact like that in my entire life.
Well, we were kids at the time. Like, I'm talking at the school, basically. Like, there was
How old are we?
Because
talking?
There's nothing more like one of your good mates, like hooking up with their sister is like, hey, not in front of them. You think that's a weird line?
That's weird.
It's just a bit of fun.
Goodness me.
But we both were terrible. And the thing was...
There are timestamps, by the way, for where you can skip...
He kind of had openly had a thing for one of my cousins. So I was like, come on, man, this is bullshit. If you go after my cousin, I'm going to go after one of your sisters.
Wow.
And then we made this deal. And neither of us won, because we both were shit with the ladies.
Okay.
Wow.
That part, I believe.
I had a little bit of game.
That part rings true.
Time here and again. All right. Now you're making me question my boyhood deal that I had with my mate.
Yeah. How old were you?
Jeez, it's, we're not like, when I say hook up, just make out with them. We're not trying to freaking, like, it's
I impregnated your sister with my seed.
I impregnated it and I've sent you the video file.
Yeah, that's also Yeah, troubling.
Exactly. It wasn't anything like that. But, I'm sure I've told other people this.
Okay.
And they haven't responded like you. Like yours is just
on a scale of 1 to 10, how inappropriate is Tony?
I think, yeah, hooking up with your mate's sister or relative, is that a no-no?
I never had a sister, so I don't really have that issue. You've but my brother
if I hooked up with your brother,
marry my ex-girlfriend's friend.
That's
so
not
if I didn't have that ex-girlfriend, my brother doesn't get married to that lady.
So then you've also always got this kind of link to your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, like I met his in-laws before he did because I met them via my girlfriend at the time.
Right. And so then, you saw her at the wedding?
Yes. She was a bridesmaid and I was a groomsman. So that was a bit awkward.
Was your wife there?
Yeah, she was there.
And was she like, oh, this is cool?
Yeah.
Right.
She wasn't like thrilled about
did
that.
Did it end okay? Was it a harmonious ending or a...
No,
is it acrimonious? Is that the opposite of harmonious? What does acrimonious mean?
I don't know.
I feel like it should mean the opposite.
No, alimony. We got to pay alimony. I didn't have to pay her any alimony. I think it's an American word.
Yeah,
child support. Yeah.
Yeah, I know all about that. It's not a doodle. It's a fucking reality.
This is why we bring in the viewers.
Exactly.
Hi, folks.
Yeah, this is fun stuff. Talking about relative love.
Awkward social interactions at weddings.
So that was awkward the whole day?
Yeah, it was relatively
awkward.
And
you had to come in doing the Gangnam Style.
Yes, I did. That didn't date at all for their wedding video.
Gangnam Style. It's a banger, though. Still a banger.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's got over. Was it the first YouTube video to get like 1 billion views?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. On Lincoln Road, there's a Korean barbecue place called Gangnam Style.
Yeah, there must be a very small franchise because there's one in Takapuna called Gangnam Style.
Oh, there you go. They
have you done Korean barbecue before?
Yeah.
I like a bit of Korean barbecue. Right. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's a bit of fun.
It's kind of a low-level dinner.
Yeah, but you're cooking your own food and stuff.
That's what
it's
I mean.
A bit of fun.
So
do you think that's
I'm more lazy if I'm paying for that food. You better cook that for me.
You know, all over Asia, there's a bit of cooking your own food. And like Southeast Asia, it's quite a big thing. You know what I don't really enjoy about one of the cooking your own food ones? Hot pot. You done hot pot?
Oh, yeah, I had hot pot the other day.
I'm not a big fan.
Why is that?
Because everything just ends up tasting the same.
Okay.
You know, it's just you boil your meats and this shit, and it comes out, and it all just tastes like rubbery, overcooked meat that's spiced by whatever that is.
Don't go to Sichuan. That's kind of one of their big deals. They have numbing spice.
Like numbs the tongue?
Mm.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah. That's their thing.
Right.
Fantastic. I met some Sichuan people when I was in China on one of my trips, and I said, oh, yeah, you guys like spicy food? And they were like, numbing spice.
Right.
They corrected me, not just like out and out spice.
So they
numbing spice in particular.
So basically, do they take the numbing spice first, so then they can have super spicy stuff without
just
the pain?
Just goes in the broth.
Serious?
Yeah.
Numbing spice.
Yep.
We should try it.
Sichuan peppers, basically.
Also, sorry, we're a day late, and
yes, Tony's been busy.
I was busy
doing
yesterday.
Stuff.
I was doing stuff.
I rescheduled.
Yeah.
My busy lifestyle. My buddy's distraught.
What was it like to have a Monday to yourself yesterday?
I played some Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl with my children on the PlayStation.
Baba Booey.
And I smoked them. Beat the shit out of those kids.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes.
Yep.
I play Sackboy. With Madison.
Never played Sackboy, but
it's
I know
fun.
About it.
It's from the Little Big Planet.
Yes.
And she
That's
never
going
says,
back a
never
way.
She says the character from Little Big Planet. She never says Little Big Planet. She says Big Small World.
Okay, that works.
Like Little Big Planet. She goes, no, it's Big Small World. Yeah, we should start a rival game called Big Small World. You know, that would track.
That's not copyright infringement at all.
It wouldn't be.
No, it's different enough.
Different enough.
Just like us.
Because we're in a podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted, it's, Rugby Podcast.
It's a rugby podcast.
We do eventually talk about rugby.
It's just, you know what, Mark? These are the dirge Dirge Weeks. Although, yeah, I always enjoy your company. We have a good time.
We do.
But
I get the feeling you might get some traction with this video this week if you title it the correct way. If you use
Stephen
the word slowly,
Donald sucks ass.
You'll get some views.
Right. Beaver can kiss this ass.
No, you can't go Beaver because outside of New Zealand, I don't know how familiar they'll be with the nickname Beaver.
The Beaver. Right. Anyway, what my point was, but in terms of like when we record these podcasts, I thoroughly enjoy, I'm excited to talk about rugby when it's test match stuff, especially when we get, you know, it's
and you can rugby remember champion, the play-by-play, you, play. You can you know, remember the big moments. You love the stats.
Yes, this thing happened, the scrum happened, and I had an emotional response, therefore I'm remembering it better.
Fewer games.
So right now, I don't give a shit about the games nearly as much. And there's more of them.
Yes.
And you're just like, what the fuck happened?
Something happened.
The force and the draw played. And I remember thinking, no, that's not a bad try.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the context of that try was.
So but there was something good about it. You're basing it more on feelings.
And it's all just, so it's, and you have to, and there is a point where you're just watching it going, oh, geez, it's another two games. I'd actually just like to watch some YouTube, watch, I don't know, something, some golf videos. The NBA playoffs are on right now. I want to watch a bit of that.
Like, never really got into the NBA. I think we've had this conversation before. The
NBA's great, man. Yep. But
I
anyway.
Love it or leave it. I did watch, do you want to get into other sport chat first?
No, let's bite the bullet. Get into it.
Okay. Stephen Donald.
Fantastic New Zealand icon.
He had a movie made about him, like a straight to TV movie.
Yeah, it's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, it's so bad it's kind of good, and if you like rugby, it's like
watch it.
It's a watch. It's just called The Kick
because he got the kick that won us.
It's the redemption story of Stephen Donald, who was, as much as you hate him, New Zealand hated him a lot more.
So much more. Hong Kong 2009?
Against the Wallabies.
Yeah, we lost that game. All he needed to do
was kick the thing out.
He missed touch.
So the Wallabies ran it back at us and managed to steal the game away from us.
Who scored that try in the end?
I don't remember. So that immediately, because we had Dan Carter at that time, who was the golden boy, and everyone was just trying to fill the boots of his bench guy, and that dropped Stephen Donald out of that conversation. He fell below Colin Slade, and he fell below Aaron Cruden, who was kind of the young gun. Yeah. Everyone hated Stephen Donald.
It was
public enemy number one.
It wasn't pre-social media. You know, 2009, Facebook's in full swing.
Yeah.
So he was getting tons of shit on people's Facebook.
Basically, his whole career had been nullified, and he's just the guy who fucked up.
He'd done some really great things for the Chiefs. He'd played some handy games for the All Blacks, but had never really gone to that level. And had always been seen as very much a huge understudy. But in this massive redemptive arc, massive moment.
Dan Carter gets injured at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So Colin Slade takes over. He gets injured. So Cruden starts the final. And Beaver, that's his nickname, who was catching fish.
White baiting.
Yes, white baiting only a few weeks before. Gets called in to sit on the bench.
With his spare tire and his tight shirt.
For a World Cup final.
And then with a lot of confidence got up there.
And he has to come on pretty early on in that final and takes the kick, which ends up being the difference in that match. So he went from zero to hero in the New Zealand public's eyes.
He got that kick, but he also played pretty well.
Defensively well.
The rest of the game. He didn't look out of place. He was in a World Cup final, and everyone was incredibly happy for him.
Yeah, so as much as he was remembered only for that one wrong kick, he suddenly is remembered as the hero guy.
Then he went and played in Europe, and he's managed to come back to New Zealand and become a... He's adored and loved here in New Zealand. He's still remembered as that. I don't think anyone in New Zealand really gives a shit about what this whole comment was. I haven't heard in my entire lifetime anybody in New Zealand ever come up to me and say, "Can you believe what they said on the breakdown?"
Yes.
I do not know a single New Zealander other than the Newmark that gives a flying fuck about the breakdown. I'm sure old folks watch it and stuff like that. I watch a little bit from time to time.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who actually watches the breakdown in New Zealand. The only time I know that the breakdown is relevant is when foreign YouTube channels, I don't mean that disparagingly, they just happen to be not New Zealand, like blow up about some shit that JK or Goldie said or
We need to put into context that The Breakdown is essentially a New Zealand show made for, I would probably say, a boomer New Zealand audience.
The people who still have a Skybox. But which explain that to them as the people who don't even they're not watching on the internet. Yeah. They're watching. They've still got
the movies package, and then they have the sports thing on top. So they like used to have JK. JK's not on there anymore, but yeah, JK would say inflammatory stuff, and he would piss people off.
And Goldie would go. They'd barge you with each other a little bit.
They kind of do a bit of that Stephen A. Smith like. Part of the interruption. They seem to model the show a bit off that. Where one guy goes controversial and the other guy has to.
And they're clearly said to, like, say things that are a bit edgy. We need to get things out there. And I think
we need to get some engagement. So I don't usually watch it. I did watch it this week because Morgan Turinui was on and he's a good pundit.
Like I think he's very good. I didn't watch it this week.
Him and James Parsons are usually pretty good. James Parsons got his own show also on the same channel.
I think it's actually, if you want actual good, solid rugby chat. It's far better than our podcast.
Oh, for sure.
And it's much better than the
Aotearoa Rugby Pod. That's the one to watch. It's on the same YouTube channel as The Breakdown is on. But The Breakdown, it's like Off the Ball in Ireland. It's like SA Rugby Mag in Australia, but maybe not to that extreme.
SA Rugby Mag is a next level.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's some South Africans go, well, I think they're pretty much down the street.
Yeah. But they're appealing to a New Zealand audience. So you got to put anything they say into context. Like anytime we hear shit coming from The Breakdown is like, well, fuck, it's The Breakdown.
We don't. I sometimes will watch it occasionally because I do this podcast and I feel like I need to know a little bit more about what's going on sometimes, but it's still pretty rare. And if I watch it, I'm watching it for about 2.5 minutes before I go, okay, that's enough. So it's anyway, so he gets on there, they're talking about
Geordie Barrett and where's his place, because I haven't watched that whole episode either. I basically just watched the butt.
I have not seen any of it.
So they're talking about Geordie Barrett and basically, because we've had this conversation before in New Zealand about a guy who's playing abroad, coming back, does he make it straight into the All Blacks or does he need to kind of sit back down the pecking order? We've had it with Bodie, we've had it with D-Mac, we've had it with anybody who's gone abroad. When they come back, this conversation always comes up. And have they sacrificed their place in the pecking order because they've been abroad?
And his comment is generally a relatively valid comment when you're talking about players coming back from Japan, because it is a lower level of contest over there. Like it's not to the standard of the European leagues or the New Zealand leagues.
Yes.
I don't think that's overly controversial.
Yeah, and I think we also, I don't think we're like super defending.
Not at all.
Beaver.
Well, are we? He's a legend in New Zealand.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I thought about it as well because like you said, he played rugby in Europe.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this. After he finished the World Cup. So I think he went to Bath.
Yeah, he played in Bath.
And he played in England. That's when the Premiership was like doing better than it is now. Like since then, the Premiership's lost a few teams to bankruptcy and whatnot. Yeah. But it used to be riding a bit more of a higher wave.
Yeah.
And I think back then it was the Pro 14 or maybe even the Pro 12, which was kind of seen as like in Europe, it's probably not the best competition. So he was probably in the mindset of, he probably had other players. Because I see when the URC first set up, there were heaps of people, like I could tell in the comments, like Premiership fans who would talk shit about the URC. This competition sucks, you know. This is basically a third tier competition.
Was this before?
This was all just YouTube comments though, rather than kind of pundits. So
the URC was originally set up with the South African teams.
It used to be the Pro 14. So it wouldn't surprise me if Beaver kind of had it in his head from the Premiership days that like that's just a lower level competition than the Premiership.
At the end of the day, it's a dumb thing to say. I would really highly suspect that he's been prompted by producers and whatnot to say, hey guys, remember, like, don't be afraid just to put some edgy stuff out there. Yep. It's engagement. Any engagement's good engagement. Don't be scared. Just go for it.
Because they've got the setup talking point, which is Geordie going to come back in?
Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a talking point personally. Of course he's going to fucking come back in. But they need to make a, ooh, should he, shouldn't he? Ooh, it's not as high level.
Yeah, and there are some good 12s who have been playing well in New Zealand. Tammy Powell, the guy with the Tupaia. He looks pretty golden.
Yeah, he's having good form.
So, like, he'll come back in. He'll probably be a frontline player barring injury or somebody else's incredible form in a test match.
Yeah.
Like, say, Geordie starts and somebody comes on and he surpasses him. That can naturally happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, Geordie's been playing the house down over there.
Yeah.
And they're and some of the best teams in the world in the URC.
I don't think Beaver watches the URC.
No, I don't think so either.
That was my first reaction when he got, when he said that.
It's just by someone who...
Like, if it's, you know, there's that whole thing about, like, is it ignorance or is it malice?
Yeah.
I think it's just ignorance.
Mm. I think you're probably right. And ignorance mixed with a bit of flamboyant combatism in terms of what the breakdown has been set up to do.
Yeah.
And nobody gives a shit over here. It has not made a single headline.
No.
Any description whatsoever.
No.
If I said to even the biggest rugby fan I know, can you believe what Beaver said? He'd be like, what did Beaver say?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's certainly not not really a big deal. But the only way to resolve the question about what he's saying,
yes,
like, you know, if someone in Europe came out and said Super Rugby is such a low level, I don't think anyone here would give a shit.
Over there,
well, like, there would be people watching at the time, be like, "Oh, hold on," but there wouldn't be this furor rising up with like 88 freaking YouTube videos about it.
I don't think the pundits over there give a shit about Super Rugby enough to even mention it.
Yeah, similar to what...
It hardly ever gets mentioned over
here. Yeah. It is what it is. But the thing I would really like to see, I want to see fucking...
each other.
I want to see the Chiefs play Leinster. I want to see Munster play the Blues. Like,
you always see people saying this team would flog that team, but we never...
We don't know.
You never really know. And you might think you know. But, like, I mean, I take a look at La Rochelle, who've been a fucking amazing force in Europe in recent years.
Yeah.
And like, they've got a squad which has got some fucking good players in it, but they've also got guys like Ehire West, who was kind of shit over here. Like, he was like solid Super Rugby, but never that guy's going to be a European champion.
He was, the year that we had Ehire West as our number 10 for the Blues was 2017, and we lost. We had a terrible season. We were the worst performing New Zealand side. Yeah. We beat the Lions with him.
That's right. He did
an incredible flick pass through to...
He was always like a talented guy, but you never like, he's going to play for one of the biggest teams in Europe.
You felt like he wasn't a player who could drive.
That's right. They had like runs. Raymond Rule, who was a meme in South Africa for how bad his tackling was. Dylan Lades, who maybe got like... So they got a bunch of guys who were kind of like journeyman, Super Rugby level players.
Tawera Kubalo, who showed a lot of promise as a youngster, but not a player that...
He was never going to surpass like Aaron Smith level as like legendary All Black kind of thing. So they took a bunch of guys like you wouldn't
have
thought.
He was number two at the 2015 World Cup. He got past TJ Berenard.
That's it.
But I'd say TJ is still probably a better player.
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, when you look at some squads, you look at like Toulouse, it's full of like half the fucking French team. You look at Leinster, like more than half the Irish team.
Yeah.
But then La Rochelle had a bunch of guys who you wouldn't have thought are traditionally, like, that's going to be the best team in Europe. But they could. So it's, you can never say for sure these fuckers would beat these fuckers. We don't know. You just don't know.
And to be fair, it's the reason that why the World Cup is such a great competition is because teams have prepared incredibly well, and then by the time business time comes in the tournament, they've acclimatized, they're used to wherever they're playing. But if we had some sort of competition where freaking Leinster come over and play in Waikato Stadium, they're going to be completely out of whack from traveling all that way for a one-off game, vice versa, all that sort of stuff.
We've seen the odd preseason game.
Yeah, and those don't matter.
Those are squad players and
nobody
gives a shit.
Yeah, I know they might be billed up as something special, but they're really not.
No.
Can I tell you something frustrating?
Yes.
I see this
bottle opener.
Looks like a nice bottle opener, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like bone ivory. Very nice. It's fucking shit. Uh-huh. It's
not very good.
You have to like work for it.
It's not good.
I buy the missus, we have a thing where I buy her a bottle opener for every Christmas and birthday. It's not the only thing I buy, but there's always a bottle opener in there somewhere. It's like a
gag. So you got that
gag.
One thinking it looks nice.
Yeah, but it's shit. Okay. You open your next bottle with it and tell me what you think. Anyway, that's
Beaver.
So in
summary, I would say take the breakdown with a grain of salt. It is not the most educated panel with regards to anything outside of New Zealand rugby.
It's not a reflection of the New Zealand rugby public.
There will be some people
who
will be like, look, the URC's made up of Scotland. They can't beat the All Blacks, so they're shit.
Yeah.
Italy, likewise. Wales, likewise. So there's most of the URC's
gone. There's two-thirds of your team.
And then they'll say, South Africa was shit in Super Rugby, couldn't win Super Rugby.
They won it once or twice the whole time.
Three times. The Bulls won it.
Three times over how many years? 20-ish years.
So they'll say, those guys, if they're competitive and that competition was on this one, then they'll say, well, then there's Leinster.
So yeah, well, no, yeah, Leinster might be the only good team. Maybe they
basically, there will be some people who say
they'll
that.
They'll be like, maybe they'd have a good game with the Highlanders, but I don't see them going that well against the Canes.
Yeah, exactly. So
so it's basically, it's a reflection of somebody who does not give a shit or watch any European rugby and is probably over the age of 58.
There you go.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, if you're watching this and you're over the age of 58, thank you very much for watching. We appreciate you.
I should say, just for context, there are times when I see Northern Hemisphere pundits say stuff, and it does push my buttons as well. Like, yeah, whenever I see someone say, like, how the New Zealand squad is basically just made up of guys poached from Samoa and Tonga. Like, that one pushes
so
my button.
Much.
So I do get the frustration from the other side.
I've heard you say
again,
so many times.
It's just ignorance.
Yeah, you
say, it's not malice.
You always go back. Well, if you look at the Samoan or the Tongan teams, most of them are made up.
They're pretty much all born in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I did a reactionary video about it. I do a video every Wednesday for my patrons. And I remember I said to them when the Stephen Donald thing had just been out like the day before, I was like, I could probably make a video about this and it'd get a lot of views, but it's just all hot air, so I'm not going to touch it because right. I didn't really want to give it more.
Give us a bit of your hot air.
Yeah, it's just such bullshit.
Why?
I just get tired talking about that shit.
Yeah,
because then it just gets into the debate of like, well, my competition's better than your competition.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
and it's just all a bit of a big wank.
It is.
I like both
wank.
Of them.
Yeah. I like Super Rugby more than the European
it's
rugby.
It's your competition.
Watch,
you should.
Because I know the players.
Yeah.
Also like it because I'm not watching it sleep deprived at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. You know?
Yeah.
And I give a shit. I know the history of all the teams and like it is what
it's
it is. And that's exactly
you.
How you would feel watching.
On the other way. Yeah.
It was always hard watching playing South Africa at 5 in the fucking morning sometimes. You'd be like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
What we want from South Africa is you blighters to play a night game.
Yeah, play some games at night.
Play some games at night.
Please.
It would be fine. We play all our games at night for you. Play some games at night, would you?
Pretty please.
We don't want to wake up at 3 a.m. every... I have one day a week I can sleep in and you put your game at 3 a.m. And I've had enough. I want this to be a... You're put on notice, South Africa.
Reciprocal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Give us the reach around. All right? And by the reach around, I mean a decent starting time. Kickoff times. I mean that, seriously.
But yeah,
Do you think that, was that hot air? Or was,
I don't know.
That was a bit of hot air, wasn't it?
Just hot air.
Do you think anyone in South Africa's rugby is going to pay attention to what I just said?
Don't take it too seriously. Please don't get offended by the breakdown. Just don't watch the breakdown.
Oh, maybe it's okay. Like, it's engagement, mate.
I suppose so.
Yeah, you're engaged. People are like watching YouTubers' videos more than they would otherwise.
Maybe I should have made a video about it.
You probably fucking should have.
Should have got some money for it.
Yeah, we're calling this one a low level podcast.
I knew it was going to get big. I didn't know it was going to get this big. And then I did a live stream on the weekend, and like half the questions were just like, so what did you think about Stephen Donald's comments?
The only thing I had actually taken in about it, I saw some stuff, but I watched about the first. No offense to the guy, he's done incredibly well, really, really well. But I watched about the first 25 seconds of the Egg Chasers video on it, and then I was like, I get it. Yeah.
One of my guys on Patreon replied to me yesterday,
yeah,
and he said, Tim from Egg Chasers did a video about this and got 100,000 views. And I was like, oh, shit,
you got 100,000 views,
that's big.
Take your hat off. That's almost as big as my biggest ever video.
I think like my World Cup final might have got like that much.
Really?
So for pundits talking hot air. I need to get in on that action.
You should.
Like that guy.
Don't
Matt,
be
the,
too
the,
fucking.
That guy
like
Matt
pious.
Williams, who he's an Aussie, but he does work for one of the Irish broadcasters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just loves talking smack. Like he just like 7-1 split.
Well, there's a reason we have a 7-1 split, and I think it really goes against the spirit of the game.
Anything that guy says, I'm just like, I'm not listening to that wanker. But
it's
if I did,
dollar bills, yo.
I should have did some videos about that guy.
I feel
pundits talking hot shit.
We should just have what pundit sucks this week. What pundit sucks this week? Well done, Stephen Donald. We still love you, Beaver. We still love you.
Still love him in New Zealand.
I still love him. What a champ. Fucking taking that kick.
Exactly.
I really think he put about as much thought into like that statement as I put into like what pair of underwear I'm going to wear today.
It was very much just a comment in passing.
Did you watch the actual footage?
Yeah.
All right. And so they've just taken it.
It was just kind of a throwaway comment, but it got.
So you're getting might have gone, oh, that might get. Because he'd have people in his X or Twitter DMs like going at him, sorts of shit. So he got the fewer of all the South Africans.
And when JK Irish. Ever used to say shit on the breakdown about especially the Bok fans, the breakdown would they obviously follow that feedback because they would lean into it with future episodes. Like, oh, we know our viewers in South Africa, la 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 la,
really love us.
So
I think when they pumped us in Twickenham, Goldie came on and said. And said, well, that's the best they have, so we've seen it. And then they were like, ah! It's a little bit of rage bait. Hey.
I think they do that on purpose.
It's a little bit of rage. You want the engagement. Don't fall for it, guys.
Yeah, don't fall for it.
Gives us something to talk about. At least we don't have to talk about a bunch of, Super Rugby.
Hold on.
What do you got for me now?
The Wallabies.
Walla Walla Wallabies.
It hasn't been announced yet, but supposedly tomorrow, so probably by the time you're watching this.
Yes.
Les Kiss is going to be appointed the Wallabies coach.
Am I immature?
Yes.
But every time I hear Les Kiss, I think about lesbians kissing.
I've honestly never made that connection once with that guy's seriously? Name. Seriously? Yeah, yeah. There you go. I'm never going to be able to unthink that now.
Every time I hear it, I go, Les Kiss. I guess. Yeah, they do.
God. Wow. Things that go on in that mind of yours, eh?
So on the thumbnail, we should have Beaver.
Yep.
And then two lesbians kissing.
Okay.
And then you and I on the sides.
They're not cousins.
They're not cousins.
If you didn't skip past the start of the video, you'll get what I'm talking about. If you skipped doesn't make any sense.
Okay, Les Kiss, the coach of Queensland. I heard that Queensland were a little bit shitty about it. They're like, they've still got a year left on his contract.
So
we've gone through Brad.
They were basically just saying, if you want him, you need to buy him out. And Rugby Australia was like, we don't have any money. Can you just give him to us for the good of Aussie rugby?
Well, now you get to use this thing.
All right, let's see how this goes this way. Yeah, it's really shitty. It's terrible.
You fucking asshole.
Sorry, it was just so terrible.
Did you do it that way?
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed
to be. No, that's the way it's supposed to be, with the flat edge down.
The flat edge goes under the bottle.
Are you saying all this time I've just been using it like a tard?
Probably.
Can I say tard?
I don't know. It's your channel, so you can get demonetized if you want.
Damn it. Okay.
What was his name?
That is demoralizing. Oh God, I feel like a plum duck.
You should be used to it. What were we saying? Kiss.
Lesbians kissing. It's all gone to cut.
Oh yeah, the Reds refused to just release him. So from what the reports are,
sorry, I'm just thinking about scissoring.
As we sit here now,
scissor.
The Reds and Rugby Australia have come to a deal, supposedly not confirmed yet, but. Yeah. That he will be the coach of the Wallabies, but he has to finish out his contract with the Reds first. So
he's going
to
coach next
Super Rugby next season and then straight into the Wallabies. So normally they have the start of the year to do all the prep shit.
Oh, come on, Wallabies, give him a fresh run at it. Jeez.
But apparently Joe Schmidt's going to stay on.
Oversee
shit.
Get paid.
And he'll just be like, so Les, how about those Wallabies that you're going to be coaching?
Yeah, how about that team that I'm not coaching anymore? You've been watching the players? Yeah, I have. He'd be like, McWright looks good, doesn't he? Yep, he looks good. Anyone else look good? I think Donaldson, he looks good. What about Potter? Just don't think he has the pace. So these are the conversations that...
Yeah, they'll be having.
Oh, man, it's a good...
I think Les Kiss will do well, though.
Yeah.
It'll be his first international cooking gig.
Tell me more about Les Kiss.
I think he's got a rugby league background, which...
I approve.
Yeah, you would approve of. I think he's just basically just come through the ranks. I know he's worked with South Africa. His last coaching gig before the Reds was London Irish before they went bankrupt.
Yeah, right.
So he's always played quite attractive rugby. I think, which will fit the Wallabies well with their kind of mobile pack.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the first one to say that he will do for Australian rugby what Rassie Erasmus did for South African rugby?
No.
Would that be a bold call?
That'd be a bit bold.
Come on, do it. Do it. Be bold.
Do you know Rassie used to sit on the roof of the Cheetahs Stadium to get like a better view of the game? Like, that guy's nuts.
Oh, like to kind of watch it like it's like...
like on a drone footage, like to really watch, like, see what's going on.
Jonah Lomu rugby watching.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Wanted to like bird's eye view it.
He's done some light signals and he's done all kinds of...
He's an interesting cat, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure.
Anytime...
So I don't think Les Kiss is quite that out of the box.
Right.
But he seems like a smart coach. He's like the Reds were a bit of a grind under Brad Thorne.
Yeah, they seem to be playing a style that didn't really seem to be suitable to them.
No.
More like a style that was suitable or almost a South African team. Like hard and hitting up the front. I think Brad Thorne would have been a great player in a South African team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He's a hard man.
Hard, massive, huge physical presence.
Yeah.
Like, takes no backward steps.
That's
it. Jeez, I miss him.
And that gravelly voice of his.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just, if we get the set piece right, everything else will go from there.
That's actually not a bad impression.
Thanks, pal.
So, yeah. Good job, Les Kiss, if you've actually got the job. I hope you do well.
Well, yeah. And if there's a headline tomorrow, Les Kiss blows it. Now I'm thinking about something else. We apologize. We got it wrong. This is the one time we've tried to be slightly ahead of the breaking news. Maybe we're not.
It's all but confirmed by all accounts.
Okay. High five it. It's had the 2CGD high five of approval.
Those come up very rarely.
We don't do them often.
This is true.
All right. Okay. What are we talking about next, Mark? Is it rugby?
How about a low-level competition? Some Super Rugby.
Good stuff. Super Rugby. We suck. Fuck it all. Shit.
The Blues are not good.
Oh, God. This is the week where I thought, okay, come on. We need it. We'll make last week sucked.
We'll beat Les Kiss's Reds.
Reds will give us... obviously, he's a good enough coach to beat the Blues.
Yes, which is not saying much this season.
We just didn't... It was such a sad, pathetic effort. Like, they... scored every time they got into anywhere near our 22, they just got through us so easily.
And we had to grind Liner, and then get TMOs.
Liner cut us
two
apart.
Two times.
Yeah, very easily. Like, we had our defensive systems were shot. And then I felt like we had territory and possession. And we just could not get across the fucking...
Either held up or TMO'd.
We could get across the try line.
Yes.
We just couldn't get the ball on the ground legally in any way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Mark Taylor got a red card.
Yeah. Can I just one thing on the whole held up thing.
Okay.
I think, and it was prevalent across a number of the games of the weekend, I really think that...
needs to be 5 minute scrums because you love scrums.
No, I'm happy with the rule.
Right.
But I really think that there needs to be a slight change in tactics and also value of approach in terms of what you do when you're close to the line.
Right.
Because, you know, it was a very, very safe play just to give it to the big boys and try and get low body position and get over it. But, you know, teams have realized that if you are able to get that held up call, and not only is, you know, they're not scoring, but you're pushing them back into like 30, 35 meters out, and you've got a really good chance to actually get parity back in the game. So I think there has to be, you know, one of the problems with the Blues is that they grind over, they pump away. They're not getting across the line, and teams are just knowing that if we can drag them across our line, we'll be able to take the pressure valve off.
Yep.
So they need to float it out a little bit more and give it a bit of air. And I think halfbacks need to be a little bit more creative, you know, on the try line. Mm. Like, it just seems like there's just this massive lack of creativity in terms of those pick and goes, and just, you know, we need to see a little bit more... what's the word I'm looking for? Like illusion close to the line, at least in those situations. We see the short balls and all that sort of stuff when guys are further out, but it's almost like we're afraid of dropping the ball. Don't drop the ball, but by all means, you're going to get held up. You may as well have dropped the ball. You know, like it's such a big play in the game, getting held up these days.
I do feel like teams, like when they initially announced that law, I figured teams would potentially go for the tactical, try to hold them up instead of push them back.
I think it's happening now.
I think it is finally starting to happen. Teams are doing it more. If they know they can get under the ball carrier, they're more happy to drag them backwards.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's starting to really happen. So
like I'm up here with 3 meters out. If I fall backwards, I can be confident enough that I'm wrapped around the ball.
Yeah.
I've got players to the side
of me. They're not getting it down.
They're not going to get that ball down.
Yeah. I feel like that's been a slow adoption because we've had this law for fucking ages now.
Because tactical option was always just like stop them at any
absolutely.
Cost. Like,
absolutely. Because even back in the day, you used to be able to ground it against the base of the post. So
for
God's sake, you need to stop.
And then holding them up, it's a 5 meter try, which is an immensely.
Yeah. 5 meter scrum was always
five
more
meter
risky,
scrum. Yeah. That's an immensely dangerous attacking position for any tank.
Yeah.
So I like the ruling because I thought it would hopefully get it needs to stop like the pick and go play is certainly definitely a great option and the one off runners off the ruck is still a great option. Big men going low, that's always going to be a great option, but it's got to be viewed as part of a wider smorgasbord of options next to the line, not the only option. And the Blues have been guilty. Like it seems like last year they got a lot. They went to the well with that a lot and they were able to get pay with it. This year it's not happening. You know?
I actually had a look at their stats today and guys like Clark and Talia in terms of their number of touches is way down on last year.
Yeah.
And the guys who we used to rely on last year in terms of our top carriers, it was Talia, Akira Iwani, and Caleb Clark. Those were the top three. Wow. So Lucy, a big physical Lucy who likes to go forward, and two wingers.
Yeah.
This year, like Tui Polotu and Berry, like two of our locks are like our two top ball carriers. So it's like we're keeping it very narrow.
Caleb Clark's been quiet this year.
He's had a bit of game time out, but yeah, he's not been.
It's weird. He almost needs to have a good year and a bad year. Like he has a great year and everyone's like, oh my God, this guy's incredible.
Yeah.
And that leads him to take his foot off the gas pedal in the off season, and he
gas pedal after that motorbike case.
it's by the way, that's a throttle.
Okay,
he doesn't have a pedal.
It's just so good.
The throttle.
He's got distractions.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a good season, and then it leads him to not take the off season very seriously.
Right.
He comes back not
for his
like
distracted by a
it's true, but he comes back looking, you know, not bad, looking like a professional rugby player. But when he's had a bad season, he seems to come back
stronger,
like just looking lean and mean as fuck, and like. It looks great from moment one in the preseason. You're like, oh shit, Caleb Clark looks all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he plays amazing. This year, I feel like we're having another fucking off season, which I'm not happy about for a Blues perspective or a
All Blacks perspective.
All Blacks perspective. And Talia needs to stop spear tackling people.
That's true.
It was a great hit.
It was my first reaction to that one was, whoa, what a hit. And then I looked at it, I was like, ooh.
Hit, but he just got his arms in a bad spot and then under the knees and when he was going through, just, I don't think it was intentional.
No,
but
bit of a weight and momentum difference.
There was a bit of debate and stuff like that. And I was on the Kiwi, I went on a Kiwi lad stream in the weekend.
Oh, you did.
I went on the weekend, swore at him. He was like, try not to swear. I was like, how the fuck are you? Didn't do that, but I swore at one point.
Okay.
It makes that incredible hit, just gets his hand slightly in the wrong position. The guy lands on his head, a little bit of shoulder and head. It's a red card.
Yeah, he's got three weeks for it.
Bugger, and it's a red card. What can you say? Like, there's not really much to... It was unfortunate. I don't think he intentionally...
We scored during the red card, so it didn't cost
us the
game.
Right,
we just didn't play that well overall.
No. And it's not a red card for the full game these days.
Well done, Reds.
Well done. Reds gave us a red... And made us red-faced.
There you go.
Man, the shit doesn't just write itself.
The Chiefs flogged the Force at the Bay Oval.
It was tightish in the first half for a little bit.
Harry Potter got a couple of tries.
Bay Oval does not look like... It looks like it's a beautiful place in the world.
It's a good crowd, but I don't think it's probably the nicest place to watch rugby.
It's a great place to watch cricket.
Yes. But oval works for cricket.
A massive oval.
Rectangle works for rugby.
And then when you're...
Shapes, people.
You're about... if you're in the 50-meter line, you're literally about 100 meters away from the middle
of the
park.
Get the binoculars.
Well, you're more than 100 meters away from
it. They sold it out. 12,000 people.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place in the world as well.
They don't get many Super Rugby games. So.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice scene. It was a nice night. Yeah.
Could they not just like rope off the ground and then just have people sitting? Is it just not health and safety? Do they have like a little fence?
It's a good question, Mark. But in terms of like, how would you do tiered seating at that stage? Would you like?
Yeah, because I guess it's embankments, isn't it?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Would you have like just a group?
Just
of people?
Put the short people at the front, and there's a group. Put them by height.
Yeah, you're there, and you're like fucking 3 km away, going, Mark,
this is even worse.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, it was nice, and there was an exchange of commentators.
Morgan Taranui came over. He did 2 Super Rugby games on New Zealand soil, and we sent Mills over there. I think we got the better of that exchange because Morgs is the best of the Aussies. And
Morgs is, I think, is one of the best commentators.
We had James Parsons and Morgs on one game for the Moana Pacifica Drua game, so that was I was chuffed about that.
North Pacifica, thank you.
There you go.
Or Moana Harbour, if you want to be...
So Chiefs flogged the Force in the second half. Blues lost to the Reds. Crusaders flogged the Highlanders down in Dunedin.
Ain't nothing to say about that.
Yeah, that was...
just a one-way pumping.
Yes.
Just...
And like, speaking of things that... it doesn't really push my buttons when I see those, defense is optional.
Where are these buttons?
Comments about Super Rugby. I'm like, well, you don't watch the games, obviously, because the Crusaders game was just built on defense.
They look so slick.
They just tackle the fucking house down.
They tackle the house
down. Tackle the house down, and they turn the ball over, and then, like, I looked at the tackle stats, and they were both really high.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the tries the Highlanders conceded was when, like, Will Jordan beats a man one-on-one. If you're getting beaten one-on-one by Will Jordan, it's not one that, like, your rugby career's over and disgraceful.
No, you've just been beaten by...
Will Jordan's pretty good.
He does that too. Near enough a generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched it just feeling sick in my mouth because I was like, the ball movement of the Crusaders just looked so nice. Like, backline really, really cohesive, looking sharp, looking threatening, looking like...
Don't like it, Tony.
Yeah, looking like they are a championship team.
I don't like it at all.
I fucking hate it.
It sucks shit. I was hoping they were going to be shit for a few more years.
Yeah, I thought we might get a couple of shitty years out of this coach.
Yeah.
He's bounced back, the bastard. Good on him.
Didn't take long.
Not long at all.
Moana Pacifica beat the Drua.
The travesty of this game was one of the greatest tries I've ever seen by a loose forward was ruled out.
You know, I was watching that with my parents.
Yeah.
Right? And like, my dad's a diehard rugby fan. He will watch, apart from this podcast, he will basically consume any content. He even said to me on the weekend, yeah, I've been watching all your episodes except for the ones with Tony. Like, and it's not about you. It's just because it's too long. At least that's what he tells me.
Right, yeah.
But I was watching it with my parents. And my mum will watch a fair bit of rugby as well, but she's not at dad's level. But then when that try was chalked off, she stood up and just fucking walked off. And she was like, this is why everybody hates TMOs.
Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a bloody fair point.
Because Artie Savia had a fucking amazing try.
Incredible try. Incredible try. There's not... He's sort of...
He catches the pass fucking one-handed.
Yeah.
He should be knocking that on. Most players knock that on. He gathers it.
That's amazing. So he's out on the tram lines.
Yeah.
There's a skip pass that goes out beyond him. The winger, I've forgotten his name, he cuts back in and then he throws it on the outside to in a pretty much a nothing position, right on the try line. He takes it up maybe 1 or 2 meters sideline, and then he does an incredible, and like, it does a chip ahead.
For a loose forward,
there is nobody there, or there's fullbacks nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
He regathers. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Try in the corner.
Beautiful dive. Try in the corner, and you're like, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I witnessed that one.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, that's worth the price of admission. Then it's out. Yeah. If nothing else happens in this game.
Fantastic. And then the lining up the kick.
I'm going to get a check.
Yeah. And then there's this tiniest ever fucking little knock on. How many phases earlier?
I don't know.
So what's going on with the fucking phase rule?
I can't remember.
What is it? I thought that was a thing, guys. Phases. Anyway,
he gets chalked off. Julian scores a few minutes later anyway, but
which was nice to see. Nice to see the bus get closer to the record. But yeah, that was, and that's when I swore on. I went into the halftime of that stream and I said that try being chalked off was a fucking travesty. And
it was so cool. Rule of cool, man. When it's that cool, we gotta let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Oh, like a lot like how cool it was when Aaron Smith scored that amazing.
Were there any other games?
Career defining.
Oh, Hurricanes.
They won.
They beat the Brumbies. That was an upset for the round.
Brumbies.
They needed that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a shit result for us.
Yes.
Because we're kind of in that contest for fifth and sixth.
So we've got the good thing about us is we've got Moana Pacifica on the road home.
We got the Force next.
So we've got games that
we've got a game against the Drua. So we've got some low ranked teams coming
lower
up.
Level podcast talking about lower level teams.
Yes, in a low level competition.
Yes. Exactly.
Which doesn't have defense.
Because it's low level defense.
Exactly. It's very optional.
Yeah, 100%. You actually have to go, before you go onto the field in a Super Rugby team, you have a little survey going.
You have to swear an oath. Keep the ball moving that I will only tackle.
Will you defend? If you says yes, you don't get let on. You say no, you get let on.
That's it.
Yeah. So you can say.
Just make shit look cool.
Yeah. Make it look dope.
Make their attack look good.
Yeah. It's like Harlem Globetrotters. That's it.
But yeah.
Touch rugby.
Well done, crew. Traders,
all right, okay. Are we ready?
Proctor looked fucking amazing.
Proctor looked great,
and the Holo looked amazing.
Yeah, oh yeah. See, Bolter.
If you're picking the All Blacks, you got to be picking Proctor ahead of Rico right now.
And the Holo ahead of Caleb Clark.
Yeah, maybe.
There we go. We went a bit breakdown on that. Made some controversial calls. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think either of those calls will get made. I think Proctor will be in the wider squad.
Yes.
But I think Rico will probably be the guy they pick.
He's the incumbent.
Yeah.
Unless he gets injured.
Yeah. Unless Razor really said to the end of the year tour, boys, just get through Super Rugby without any major injuries. Do your best, like, don't break your neck.
Well, everyone loves, there's something about, it's not just New Zealand fans, but sports fans in general. When there's a guy coming through the ranks who's not fully tested at the ultimate level, when they're killing it at the level below the ultimate level, we assume they're going to be that good at the next level.
Yeah.
Right? You'll see, like, maybe Rico, for example, for the All Blacks. He's not setting the world alight.
And then
you see Proctor fucking do something amazing in Super Rugby. You're like, why the fuck isn't he playing? Proctor did play, I think, against Japan last year.
And he killed it.
He did, but he also got skinned, like, at least once by the Japanese 13, who's a really good player as well. Yeah. So he's not, like, he's not the answer to all the All Blacks.
I thought he was the answer, man.
He might be.
It's an interesting thing. Like,
he's still got his development to go.
Sometimes you see players who are absolutely kill it at like URC or Super Rugby level, and you think they're going to be an amazing test player. And then they get up to it, and then they're just not there.
Yeah.
And then you see players who are just sort of, I don't want to say journeymen, but guys who battle along, are good contributors, who do well. Probably we're talking the likes of your Blackadders and stuff like that, and then you go, and then there's a couple of injuries, and who are we going to see? Well, we'll see Blackadder, and then he plays, and he's, you know, there's something about the lights being under the big lights that just gets his blood boiling.
Yeah,
and then
they just keep stepping it up,
and then they're sensational. So it can go either way.
I wish Blackadder wouldn't get injured that much.
Yeah, he's too physical. Puts his body on the line.
This is true.
Do you want to play New Zealand's fastest growing game show? YouTube Rugby's fastest growing game show.
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah. I don't know any of the results. I don't know.
Okay, I didn't know we were going to play this game, so I didn't write all the results down because there were some shock upsets.
Oh,
this
really?
Week.
I
shouldn't give you a clue.
No, that doesn't help me because now I'm going to think everything's an upset.
Okay, everything's an upset.
Fuck.
All right.
That did not help me. They just threw a cat amongst the pigeons.
Shouldn't have told you that. The URC.
Yeah, so we have this game show where I don't watch European rugby unless it's really important. So I missed. I didn't watch any of it this weekend.
Okay.
Zero minutes.
There you go. Is it because it's too low level? You just can't bring yourself to watch it?
I might as well just go down to the club rugby down the road on Saturday morning and watch those guys. They're half hungover playing.
Zebre.
Okay, that would be a
against Edinburgh in Italy.
You've really fucked me here, man. By throwing the...
Their records this season are not that different. Zebra is actually having a pretty decent year. And, like, Edinburgh's, like, got a big squad, like, full of big-name players, I'm but still a bit
gonna,
underperforming.
I'm still going to give it to Edinburgh.
It was a draw.
I think that'll take it as a win.
Edinburgh scored in the last minute.
I'll take half of
it. And a conversion from the sideline to even it up at the death.
Wow. I'm going to
drama of all drama.
I'm going to call that half a point, all right?
Okay.
Either way, I would go half a point.
Cardiff played Munster.
What are Cardiff doing there? For God's sake.
At the Arms Park.
So a home for them.
Yes.
I'm giving it to Munster.
No.
Fuck!
26-21.
Ah.
Munster was in the lead for a while, but then every time they got a couple of yellow cards, and I think Cardiff scored three tries during 15.
I'm behind the
8
ball here.
Yeah.
Two games in, have not made a six.
And then six Glasgow, who...
See, you're throwing this...
Going into the game. Well, the Cardiff winning that one's an upset. So that's one of your upsets gone. Is Zebra really? Getting the draw, that's an upset. So you might be out of upsets already. Maybe. Or maybe there's more.
I really wish you didn't say this upset shit.
Really, I apologize feel like this, to all like fans the, of this game
I feel
show.
Like we need to put a little asterisk.
You need to go
round.
In blind, totally yeah, blind, yeah.
Totally blind.
I've messed with your mojo.
Yeah, I just, I'm second guessing it.
So Glasgow, who was second on the table, yeah. Hosted the Bulls, who were third on the table.
Oh, see, you've really screwed the pooch here.
It was in Scotland. Bulls beat Munster the week before, and Glasgow beat Zebre.
So Bulls got it done before. On the road the week before.
Against Munster by 3 points, yeah.
I'm giving it to the fucking Bulls, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to be so angry at you.
Well.
You sack of shit.
No, the Bulls won. You got it right. You got it right. And the Bulls genuinely put in a really good defensive shift, so
okay,
well
good.
Done.
There we go.
Right. Rian's team, the Lions, played Connacht down in Joburg.
What are the Lions still doing it? I thought they were terrible.
They lost the week before to Benetton, and Connacht lost the week before to the Stormers. So the two losers going at it.
Right. Let me sense Rian. Is he butthurt at the moment? I feel like he's always kind of butthurt watching the Lions being a Lions. He's always he's a long-serving, begrudging, pained Lions fan, isn't he? So I really should be focusing on the teams rather than...
Lions and Connacht.
Was it played against?
Joburg.
I think you've got to give it to the Lions.
Yeah, they won 26-7. It was so pretty one-sided. But they didn't get a bonus point.
Okay.
They only got three tries, and they were kicking penalties. But it's one of those ones where you need to get the win first. But I feel like they should have been going for the bonus point.
100%. New Zealand team would have.
Exactly right.
High-level competition, you see.
The Ospreys played the Dragons. Remember, the Dragons are the team.
Oh, this is hard when Welsh teams play each other, because you're like, usually you just go against the Welsh team when they play each other. These are all quarterfinals, are they?
The Dragon. This is still the this is the regular URC rounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the Ospreys played the Dragons. We've still got two more regular season rounds to go.
Dragons are the team that don't
one win. Okay, going into this game.
So I'm going to give it to the Ospreys.
Yeah, 57-24.
Okay,
that was quite a hiding. The Stormers played Benetton at Cape Town.
Give it to the Stormers.
56-5.
What am I on now?
You've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4 out.
Four and a half.
Of six, because there was the draw as well.
Four and a half.
Four and a half out of six. Not bad.
Okay.
Even despite my spoilers.
Yeah, it really didn't help me.
The Scarlets hosted Leinster in Park of Scarlets, so in West Wales.
Now that would be an upstage.
Leinster have got a Champions Cup semi-final coming this weekend. So they sent a kind of a B-side to West Wales.
You're giving away too much with your face. Either way, like, if I get it right...
It's all my fault.
Because Leinster is the obvious...
Leinster have only lost one game going into this game all season. Even with their B-team. Then they've only lost to the Bulls down in South Africa.
Oh, so you just got to say Leinster, don't you? But you look very mischievous.
You got to lock in your final answer.
I'm basing it completely upon you. So it's Scarlets and Leinster.
Yeah, Scarlets and Leinster.
You look so guilty. Oh, I can't make this one. Oh.
Make a call.
If it's Leinster and you've made me pick Scarlet just based on your face, I'm going to be so fucked off.
Okay.
B team for Champions Cup, like Super B. We're talking like B almost C.
Some Leinster fans have argued that it's a C team. And there were still a number of Irish internationals starting.
Scarlets, where are they on the table?
Mid-table. But we're still with a trip to South Africa to come.
I'm
going to
feel so good about myself if I say Scarlets and I'm right.
Make a stab. Go on.
Oh, fuck me. I'm going to say Leinster. If it's Scarlets, I'm going to kill you.
It was the Scarlets.
Fuck!
35.
I knew it. Why? Oh.
35-22. They did really well. Getting your Scarlets. So
you gave that away so much. I should have just backed that. And then I thought to myself, if I say Scarlets,
you're going to look like a dick.
Yeah, exactly. The
Scarlets beat Leinster, you fucking moron. Oh. Impossible Welsh side beat the top Irish side.
Oh, that's painful.
Okay.
Damn it. If anyone wants to believe the validity of this game, use that last question as an example.
Exactly, yeah. The last one is Ulster up against the Sharks.
Where are we playing?
That was in Belfast.
Where are we tables? In the table here?
The Sharks are fourth.
All right.
And Ulster are one of the teams in the hunt for the kind of final few playoff spots.
Can you give it to the Sharkies?
They did. They came back from 19-0 down to win 22-19.
I really wish I made that Scarlet call. That would have been a feather in the cap, that one.
It would have been. So the URC really takes a break now.
Break time.
And then the Champions Cup gets back underway for the semifinals. This week we've got Leinster taking on Northampton.
Uh-huh.
And then Bordeaux is going to host Toulouse.
Mm.
Both are on at pretty terrible times for us.
Okay, well, I'll...
Because we're a low-level country.
We're a low-level country with low-level...
Low-level time zones.
Low-level population. Mm. We do have low-level population.
We do genuinely have low-level population.
Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to... probably got to watch those, don't I?
You do, because we have a sponsor coming in next week, I think.
Woo!
And they're going to be very interested to hear your 2 cents about the Champions Cup semifinals.
Those low-level games.
Well, Stephen Donald, I think, said the European Champions Cup's good.
Right. Fair play.
Hmm.
Fantastic. It's like saying the World Cup is a good tournament.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Okay, fantastic. What else we got? Anything else?
Matty Proctor's Billy Proctor's extended till 2027. Yes. That's good news for New Zealand rugby.
Yeah, yeah. He could have. That could have been. If he signed away, I would have been like,
that sucks.
Typical.
Yeah.
So that's good that we got him.
Poached.
Fantastic.
There's other sports news on.
I'm enjoying watching the Houston Golden State Warriors series. There are three very good games. I've enjoyed them all.
Okay.
The Nuggets are playing the Clippers at the moment. Jokic. And
so Nuggets is Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers is the other LA team.
Yeah. It's been good.
Look at me.
Yeah, I'm enjoying those. That comp, I haven't really. I think, who are the Lakers playing? The Lakers are playing Ace. Who are they playing? I can't remember. They're in it. Lakers are in it. Boston's in it with somebody. Yeah, but I've just been really focusing on those other two series. Been good. Haven't watched a huge amount of other sports.
Liverpool won the Premier League.
Ba-boom.
They needed a draw up against Tottenham, and then they ended up going down 1-0 and then winning 5-1.
Wow.
It's the first I watched it, because I used to follow Liverpool years ago.
Huge.
It's the first game of full 90 minutes of football I've watched in, I want to say, 3 or 4 years.
You didn't watch any of the World Cup?
Nope.
Wow.
There were two guys who rolled around faking injuries, but that was pretty much it for the whole game, which I thought for soccer is not too bad.
Fantastic. That's how we
judge
it.
One from each side as well.
Beautiful. And what's his name? The Irish fighter that everyone hates because they hate his girlfriend. What's his name? Not Conor McGregor. He won. He beat
UFC
Parates or something like that. Mm. And Parates had him in all sorts of trouble. in the last couple of minutes of the final round and needed to do hammer fist at a crucial moment, but technically would have been to the back of the head, and he didn't do it, which is illegal, but never gets called, and he probably would have won the fight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What's his name, the guy? Anyway, that's all I've got.
Okay.
That's it.
I wonder what news is going to happen tomorrow.
The Zurich Open was on. That's a team open. Oh. Shane Lowry and...
is this golf?
Yes. Lowry and... Shit, I talked to him about him last week. He won the Masters recently.
Rory McIlroy
were in the team. They were doing well in the first couple of days, but faded away on the last day.
Okay.
Golf.
Cool.
Golf.
I don't really follow golf.
Yep. Because this is...
2 cents. Gets distracted.
That's a regular podcast.
We'll have a sponsor next week.
Why are we telling them like we're like that? Is that something to look forward to? You get to look for... You should, because you should watch it. You should watch this podcast and enjoy the sponsor that we get.
Yeah.
We've got two sponsors
coming up.
One of them is particularly interesting.
Yeah, Tony's looking forward to the one of the week of the 19th of May.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
But we have one which is kind of rugby-related coming for next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Peeled is a peeled thing.
And let's see which pundit... Oh, I'll make a video next time a pundit says something stupid, really? And I'll be like, look at this. This was dumb.
Don't be too holier than thou.
That's just boring.
But it makes the money. Yeah, I suppose so. I have to like do admin stuff sometimes that I find boring.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Guy says something dumb.
I feel like you're showing me off here.
Oh, okay.
And that's sorry very applicable. That. Dumb guy says something dumb. You're like, well, yeah, that makes sense for Tony too. You know how many comments that I read that say, what's with the drunk guy? And I'm like, I don't think I've ever been drunk on one of these podcasts.
Probably not.
Yeah, maybe a care, like starting to feel the effects of the Holy Spirit a teeny bit when we're on the second round and we're drinking wine.
Yeah, maybe. If we have a technical issue.
But generally not. This is just me.
That's just how he is.
That's who I am.
Someone told me the other week I should apologize for you. And I was like, oh, what the fuck did he do? I don't know what you did.
What was it you told in the comments?
And he called you my guest.
Oh.
So I was like, you must be a first time viewer.
Yeah. Or somebody who is a watcher, catches the occasional 2 cents video, but then thinks, where's 2 cents this week?
Who's this joker?
Yeah, when they don't realize it's the pod.
Yeah. It's almost had 100 episodes.
Yeah, what the fuck are we at? 96, 97?
Something like that.
So 3 weeks. Are we going to be out of Super Rugby? Well, we're going to be in Super Rugby doing 100 episode, aren't we?
It's a bit sad. Oh, we didn't meet the Women's Six Nations.
Oh, fuck me, dude. Women's Six Nations. I watched the last 2 minutes and it was very exciting.
Had a grandstand finish.
The French could have done it, but then they
knocked it on.
Then it was very anticlimactic, their final play, but that is what it is. But it was a beautiful try leading up to it. Looked like a fantastic game of rugby.
Good crowd.
Yeah, very good crowd. Good stuff. Fourth Grand Slam in a row for the Roses.
Yeah.
Are they beatable?
I think based on that French performance, yes.
Are we going to beat them in the World Cup?
I would still have to say no.
Would you be saying that at this time before the last World Cup?
Before the last World Cup? Well, it was here.
Mm.
I feel like they weren't as dominant and we...
They had just pumped the shit out of us in England.
Yeah, that's true. We were in a low point coming out of COVID at that time.
Yeah.
I still think we're big time underdogs.
I think we're massive time underdogs. I think we were underdogs last tournament as well, but the girls get it done somehow.
It was at home and they had a red card in that final. We watched it.
Yeah, it was a bit like Sam Kane, eh?
Well, red cards and World Cup finals. Sometimes they go for you. Sometimes they go against you.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Well.
That's rugby.
Let's go white baiting. With our cousins.
We went rage baiting.
Attractive cousins.
I'd never said attractive ever.
Okay.
And
beautiful cousins.
Because I don't find my cousins attractive in any way whatsoever.
All of my cousins live in Australia, and the vast majority of them are very overweight.
But it's nothing better than... Oh, yeah. Really?
Something about the genes on my mum's side of the family means...
Your mum's not overweight.
No, but she works really hard to keep in shape. She used to be. Mm. Yeah, she's got some fat-ass genes in there. But she works her ass off to keep that ass off.
Wow.
My mum is a fucking determined woman.
Yep. powerful lady. You didn't need to. The only reason it got weird when I said powerful lady is because you gave me that look. That's on you, pal. You could have said, yep, she's determined. We could have rode right through that moment, but you had to give me a look like, why are you insinuating that my
let's wrap it
my
up.
My mother has a power that is somehow not suitable. Anyway. Fantastic.
Good to chat you all.
Thank you for watching. You can find this podcast on YouTube and nowhere else.
If Tony publishes it, it'll be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
iHeartRadio,
wherever else you get your podcasts.
Fantastic, Mark.
Thank you, champ.
Brilliant. Hi-da-da. You didn't say bye. You just waved.
Bye.
There you go.